Well, good morning. Wow, that was a good reception. I like that. Sometimes you get in the church, you say good morning, and you get one or two people out of 50 that might say good morning. Then I got to get them going again, amen. So that was pretty poor. That was a good one this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back here again this year with you, and I look forward to this and coming out and, my wife asked me, she said, make sure you tell everybody there. I said, hello. I talked to her on the phone this morning. We talk every evening before we go to bed, and then we talk every morning after she gets up. And she'll text me. She says, I'm up, and I'll call her. And then she'll respond, and then we talk for a little bit. We don't say much. We just, you know, how you doing? Did you sleep good? Well, yeah, I slept pretty good last night. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. How did you sleep? I said, I didn't. But, you know, that's life. That's all it is anymore. And then we'll say, all right, goodbye, talk to you tonight. And that's the end of our conversation, you know. And then at night we talk just a little bit longer, sometimes maybe 3 minutes, you know, usually 5 or 10 minutes, and then sometimes maybe a half hour. It just depends on what I got to tell her, what she wants to tell me, you know. And I just tell her, you know, this last week she painted our porch. Man, I'm glad for that because I didn't want to do it. And then she mowed the lawn yesterday. And I said, well, and then she went out and worked in the garden yesterday. That's good. I'm glad you're doing that because I don't work in the garden. Let me tell you, I get it tilled up for her. And then, she plants it and I'm not going to weed it, but I enjoy the fruits of her labor. Amen. Let me tell. And then this last year we started mowing our neighbor's lawn also. We only have about a half acre, and she got about the same thing we have. But we were watching her one day, and she's out in her backyard mowing a lot by hand, and it's a big lawn, you know, to mow by hand. And she's hanging on to her hip and trying to push up more. She's going like this, pushing her hip back in, and had a good night. That poor woman, we felt sorry for her. My wife said, "Why don't we start mowing the lawn?" I said, "Good." She said, "Well, you tell her that if she'll clean up all that dog poo out in the backyard, because she got two dogs, and." And they run all over that backyard. We'll do the front yard. And she cleans up the backyard, then we'll do the backyard. And then we're watching her again, and my wife says, and we look at each other and say, why don't we just start mowing the backyard? We can just wash the wheels of the lawnmower off, amen. So now we mow her own yard for her and trying to be a blessing. She said, we can't give you any money right now. I said, we don't want any money. We just want to try to help you a little bit. You know, and then her son came over who, I don't know why he doesn't mow the lawn, but he works a job quite a few hours, I guess, but I don't know. There's a little thing called being lazy today. Amen. and so we feel sorry for her, you know. And then he came over and said, well, I got a couple cans of gas. Would you like some gasoline? I said, I don't want any gasoline. I don't want anything. We just want to be a blessing for you. And we're hoping that'll get us to be able to get them out to church one day. My son-in-law pastor is about 13 miles from there, and so we're just trying to be a blessing, and hopefully that might give us an opportunity to be a witness to them a little bit more. She knows I'm a preacher, and, you know, that my neighbors on the other side of her are the ones that bought the property off, and they're Christians, and so she's stuck in between two Christian families, amen. And so we just, I think we just all sort of bombard her at one time if we can, and just try to be a blessing, whatever we can do. But if he mowed her lawn, he charged them $25. And when he mowed my lawn, he charged me $25. That's funny because I told him, I said, you know, whatever you want, I'll help you. It won't cost you anything. But, right? He won't say that to me. Amen. So praise the Lord. I don't mind. Sometimes I have to have when my mower breaks down or he plows my driveway, I give him $20. It's pretty cheap, you know. So but, he's a good man. He really is. 2 Kings in chapter 4 with me. This morning, please, 2 Kings in chapter 4. You notice I am reduced to a cane now, and that'll be the rest of my life. I blew my ankle out about a little over a year ago. Well, a year ago this past spring, and I rolled it 3 times in about 2 weeks and tore all the ligaments and the tendons in it, and it won't heal. And so insurances, you know, well, then we'll do a brace, but they don't want to do surgery. And I'm reduced to brace on my right foot now. My foot sets like this, so I don't have the brace on. It looks like I'm almost walking on my ankle. And so, but with the brace on, it brings it back to just about like that. So it still tips some, but it's not as bad as what it was. And so I've learned how to hobble along a little bit better with it. And my left knee is bad. And the once in a while, then it goes. And if that goes this week, I have to put a chair up here and sit down to preach. I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. But I don't step away from the pulpit anymore, because if I do, I'll probably fall down. Amen. And you don't want me to fall down. My wife made me buy this watch this year, and this has fall detection in it. So if I fall, or I notice if I bang my hand real hard doing some work in the machete, it'll tap me, and then an alarm will go off, and I look, and there's an X on there. And if I don't touch that X, it calls 911. Wow. It doesn't cost me anything for that. But then it calls my oldest daughter. Then it calls my second oldest daughter. Then it calls my son, and it calls my wife before them. So, you know, I can't get away with anything. It's gone. My wife made me promise this year, you promise me you will not get on a ladder without me out there with you. I said, well, if you're out there with me and I fall, you're going to get hurt just like me. So why would it matter, you know? I want to be there, you know, okay. So I don't, but I have a little stepladder with a big handle on it. I can use that. I'm allowed to use that, amen. But you can only get it so high with one of them. I'm just a mess. But I feel all right, amen. I mean, I feel like I'm 25, you know, until I get to doing things a 25-year-old to do, then you feel like you're 100, you know. Roy, you're in better shape than I am. Where's he at? Where'd you go, Roy? Well, there he is. Well, he was on this side, you know, man, I tell you. All right, 2 Kings chapter 4. Enough with the nonsense. I'm going to get into this morning and share some things with you for a little bit. The Bible says here in verse 1 again, and I'm not going to give you the title to this message until I get almost done with it, because if I do, I'll give away the message, and I don't want to do that, amen. So let's pay attention with me for a little bit, and we'll get down, work down through this. But verse 1 says this, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now she's reminding Elisha that my husband was your servant, and now he's gone. It's, you know, she's not trying to put a guilt trip on Elisha. She's just reminding him of a few things, because she goes on to say, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Your servant, Elisha, my husband, feared the Lord. Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it, to fear the Lord. I would like to think that when my life was over, that my grandchildren and I got one great-grandchild coming up in, first one in October, amen. And I told him it's about time, I'm 73, it's about time somebody, my brother's 2 years younger than me, and he's got like six or seven of them already, great-grandchildren. I said, good night, what's wrong with my family? You know, they take forever to do anything, you know. And so, but I'd like to think that when my life is over, that my grandchildren would say, my grandpa feared the Lord. My grandpa loved the Lord. I don't want it to come to the end of my life and be in the grave and then have my grandchildren or my children or my wife stand there and say, well, you know, he used to serve the Lord, but he quit. I don't want that. I can't quit. Amen. I'll serve the Lord till the day I die, regardless of what I'm doing, regardless if I'm in a hospital, regardless of what I'm going to do what I can to serve the Lord. But that ought to be our attitude. That ought to be our attitude. When your life is over, what would people say about you? When your life is done and over, what would they say about you? They serve God. They love God. They fear God. God was number one in their life, you know, after their salvation. He was number one. He came first. I think that we're missing something in America today. And I think we're missing something in our churches today. I think we're to a place in our churches today where churches today are dwindling. People are leaving. Young people aren't staying when they do come. And I don't think we need programs to keep young people. I don't. I really don't think we need a big program. We don't need rock bands to draw children into the church or draw teenagers into the church. We need the word of God. Amen. And we need godly lives. The problem with a lot of churches is, and I hope you'll agree, if you don't, too bad, but you can be wrong, I'm right. I'm just kidding. Amen. The problem with a lot of churches is we're full of hypocrites. We say one thing and we do another. And children see that. And teenagers see that. They want you to be real. with them. I've done a lot of camps over the years. I mean, I've done a lot of camps and a lot of teen ministries, especially when I was younger. Now I'm old. I still do a camp, and I'm 73, and I'm called the camp grandpa. I don't know if I like that. Amen. And I preach to these teenagers, man, you ought to see the decisions that they make. And I preach hard, man. I lay it right out. Amen. I don't mess with, I just let them have it. You know, they need to have it. Amen. But you do too in Solo 9. This woman said, my husband is dead. Thou knowest that he did serve, thy servant did fear the Lord. And then she makes this statement. We see now, number one, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. You see the pain of this woman. The pain of this woman. Because it goes on to say this. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, what that means is this. Her husband owed a debt. And that's common sometimes when a husband passes away. Amen. There's debt that's left for the family to take care of. And it's too bad that that happens, but it does happen. Hopefully next year by this time, I should be, if I'm still alive, I should be debt free. That's my goal. Should be completely 100% debt free next year at this time. And that's my plan. I don't know how it'll work, but that's the plan. And I've set that goal and it seems to be doing pretty good right now. But she had a debt here that her husband left her. Now, here's the interesting part. It says, and he's going to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, what that means is this. They're not going to come home after work every night. They are his property until that debt is paid. They will stay with him. They will stay. It doesn't say how old they are. It doesn't say if they're young teenagers or older teenagers, or they could be 10 or 11 years old. That, you know, but he says, they're going to come and they're going to work for me. And he said, I'm going to take them because your husband owed me this money, this debt. I don't know what kind of a debt. It doesn't say what it was for. It doesn't say how much it was. It just says that there's money to be owed. So now she's already suffering because of her husband's debt. Already, my husband served you. My husband feared the Lord. And now this guy's going to come and take my children too. And so, as you think about this, how would you feel? Amen. What would that make? How many of you had a family? It would just devastate me if somebody came and told me that I'm taking your children because you owe this or because this is a credit that you owe me. Well, I tell you, I would have a hard time handling that. And I know that we would not see that, hopefully, in our country today. Amen. But there was sometimes in the past in our own country. And in some foreign countries today, it's still the same way. When you get over to the Middle East, it's still the same way in some of those countries over there. The oppression that she must have felt, the devastation that she felt because of the pain that she was going through already. I like what the book of James, chapter 2, verse 13 says. I think I have a scripture reference right here that you can look it up, James 2:13. You got that up there on the screen? Yeah, let's see what that says there. I want to make sure I have it right. Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm putting you to work, aren't I? Give her a tip. By the way, she doesn't have to pay taxes on tips anymore. Give her a tip, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Yep. No, I got no 2:13. Back up one. Did I say 2:14? I'm sorry. I can't even read my own notes, amen. And they're typed out, but I'm a terrible piper, let me tell you. Yeah. It says, what it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, what? That hath showed no mercy. That means he will have judgment and he will get no mercy. But then he says, and mercy rejoices against judgment. So for he, this man here, shows no mercy. He had no mercy. But it says that he will receive judgment, and when he gets judged, he will have no mercy. And you know what's true about that statement is when when man dies not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they stand before the great white throne in heaven, there is no mercy. They are 100% under judgment of God and cast into eternal damnation. That great white throne is the second death at that time, where they will be cast into eternal damnation, the fire of brimstone forever and ever and ever and ever. But when we apply this to you and I today as believers in Jesus Christ, we better start showing mercy to people who are around us, showing mercy to people in the church, showing mercy to our neighbors, showing mercy to those maybe that we, maybe showing mercy to even some of those that we don't like. Anybody there got some people you don't really like? I'm just, you know, if they're a brother in the Lord, you love them. But I don't like all of them. I'm just telling you because I know how they are. And I've got a dear friend. I mean, a dear preacher friend of mine. And I could never join his church if I was in the area, if I was living right next door, because I'd know how he is and how mean he can be towards people. And I've known him for years. And I always talk to him about, you know, but I don't understand that. I thought we were, last time I read my Bible, I thought we were going to be kind to one another. Amen. As believers in Christ, kind to one another. Nice. Building up one another, edifying one another, as we learned in Sunday school this morning. Well, we see the pain of this woman. Number two, watch. We see the pursuance to this woman. Who did she go to? Another, quite a certain woman of the wise and the sons of the prophets and to Elisha. She went to the man of God. She knew where she was going. Watch. And going to the man of God, he was the one at that time who was in direct contact with God. And she knew that she could get an answer from him if she went to him. So she went to him. Sometimes, when you're going through things as a believer in Jesus Christ, you might go to your pastor, or you might go to another born again believer that you know is doing right. Usually what we would do, you know why people don't want to go talk to the pastor sometimes? Well, number one, because they already know what he's going to say. If they read their Bible, you know what they're going to say, and they don't want to hear it. They've already, because why? People already make up their mind. Don't make up your mind. Go and do what's right. When you know what's right to do what's right. It's just that simple. Christian life is that simple. To do what's right is always to do what's right. Just do it. You don't have to live in sin in your Christian life. You don't have to be a mean person. You don't have to be an ugly person. You don't have to be downgrading everybody. You ought to be trying to build people up, amen, and lift them up and do what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ and be kind one to another, the Bible says. Well, she goes to Elisha because she knows Elisha's going to help her. He's going to give her an answer. And she seeks help. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes I need help. And to be honest with you, our real help comes from God alone, amen. Comes from God. Seek him first. Seek his face first. I get to thinking about that. Sometimes I dream. I mean, I don't dream. I have nightmares. Anybody else have nightmares in here? You know, and I don't know if it's happened the last number of years. I don't know if it's some of the medication they got me on. And I'm not sure, you know. But, you know, I'm on all kinds of different medication for my heart and some other things. My heart only functions at 29% now, you know. And I tell people if I would happen to fall over in this platform up here, don't touch me, because if my defibrillator goes off and you're hanging on to me, you're going down on the ground where I'm at, amen. I'm just telling you. Because that thing will kick in and it'll nail you. It'll nail it. It's like this clear, you know, when I say clear on the, that's what your defibrillator does in your chest when they get that hooked up to your heart like that. And mine works. I found that out this last winter. It works good, amen. Another story for another time. So this woman here knew where to go. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may find mercy, amen, that we may find or obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that our place to go is the throne of grace, God himself, Jesus Christ. Seek his face. Let him help you, amen. And any pastor worth his salt is going to show you that verse, but he's also going to give you counsel that will line up with the Word of God, will line up with the Bible. You ought to always take counsel from your pastor. I call my pastor every week We just talked the other day on the phone. I talk to him at least once a week. Once in a while, I miss a week because I'm traveling or flying out somewhere, flying out of the country. And so I don't get to talk to him, but I talk to him every week. And there's sometimes I seek his counsel. And when I seek his counsel, I listen to what he has to say. And I don't think I've ever walked out of his office not listening to what he had to say. I'll give you, for instance, I had some, my pastor is very strong on music. I mean, very strong on music. And so there's some songs that he will not allow in our church. And he's the pastor. Amen. So I had some CDs on my table of my family that were singing one song on there he didn't care for. And so I had them out on my table on Saturday, and I come into the church on Sunday morning to go up to the pulpit to preach. And I got about 10, all my 10 CDs are gone, but there's no money in the box. So I'm wondering, huh? So I went in my pastor's office, and there on his desk, there's those CDs all stacked up on his desk. And he goes like this, said, Mike, let me, as a pastor, listen to me. You don't owe me an explanation for anything. You're my pastor. And if there's something that you don't agree with, behind you. Amen? He's my pastor. I didn't rant and rave. I didn't get mad because he had a different, maybe, opinion on the song than what I had. It didn't bother me. I wasn't upset. Why would I be upset? He's the pastor. He's the one who is in charge of that church. Not everybody else. Pastor. Amen? I tell you what, we got this thing backwards sometimes in churches. I like our church. We don't have a church board. We have deacons. Our deacons are our trustees. We do not have a deacon board. We do not have deacons meetings. We have pastor and staff meetings with the deacons. That's what we do. And then we discuss things. Everybody discusses it. The men don't. The deacons aren't discussing it by themselves. Everybody discusses it, and the pastor runs the meeting. And that's how it ought to be. Amen. It really ought to be that way. But we don't see that much anymore. We don't want the counsel from God anymore because we got our mind made up of how the church should be and how we should be and how we should look and how we should act and how we should behave. And we do so much against the word of God. And to be honest with you, shame on us. Because we already got our mind made up. How about this? What do you think about maybe coming back to the book? Amen. And let's follow Bible principles. Somebody told me one time, they said, Mike, you are so narrow minded. I said, yep, about an inch and a half. Amen. I got a friend, he said, Mike, I'm so narrow minded. I could look through a keyhole on a door with both eyes and see a straight line. Try that one out, amen. He is narrow-minded, amen. Well, watch this. You see verse 2, because it makes this statement. We see the possessions of this woman. When Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything, all right, in the house save a pot of oil. Now, what's interesting, he says, you want my help, but what do you have? People all the time are coming and want help a lot of times in churches, but they're not willing to maybe get rid of some of the baggage they have and take care of their own stuff. They might have 3 or 4 TVs in their home and 3 or 4 cars in their driveway and all kinds of toys, you know, a boat and a motorcycle and, you know, a four-wheeler and all kinds of stuff. But then they want money to help, and they're not willing to sell something they have in order to get help. So, amen. I'm not against helping people. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. There are some people that we ought to help. We ought not to forget. We ought to have mercy with, according to the Bible. Amen. But listen, there are some people out there that will take advantage of you. Yeah. And take advantage of the church. You need to be guarded. You need to watch. Amen. And don't let people just take advantage of you. I'm all for helping people. But don't let people just come in and take advantage of you. That's a shame to have that happen. And you ought not to let that happen. Amen. I'm not going to happen. I ought to be strong as a believer in Jesus Christ. But she says this. She says, By the way, she's dirt poor. She says all that has a pot of oil. Now, what's interesting about that pot of oil, if you have if you would have a Strong's concordance, which takes you back to the Greek or the Hebrew, you know, and you go to the Old Testament, you look at this word up in the Old Testament on this scripture, on this text, and that word is spelled A-W-S-O-O-K, awsook, awsook. And the word means this. It deals with anointing oil. That's the idea of a vial for anointing oil. That means a vial is not very big. Just a little vial of anointing oil. And she said, that's all I have in the house. That's it. That's her possession. That and her children, who are going to be gone. She said, but I got this little bit of oil, this little thing, this little vial that would be used, that much oil for anointing, that they would anoint somebody with for like David, anointed David. King Saul was anointed. Amen. These individuals were the anointed in Solomon. That when they anoint these guys, that's what they would have, like a little vial of anointing oil. This was her possession. She had nothing else. And now she's going to lose her son. She's going to lose everything that she has. And this is all she has. You know, I like that song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, but that blood was shed for me. That's just how as I am. When you came to Jesus Christ, I hope you've come to Jesus Christ, but when you came to him, you had nothing. You had nothing to offer him. You didn't have a vial of oil. But what he had was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you upon the cross of Calvary, that you might believe him and come to him. I tell you what, I love that song, Just As I Am, because without one plea, but that blood was shed for me. I could not do anything for my salvation, and you couldn't either. He did all the work on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that died there for you. He's the one that died there for me. And you say, oh, Mike, we prayed, and that's what we did. No, you prayed receiving Christ when the Holy Spirit was dealing with your heart. You understand that? The Holy Spirit dealt with your heart to start with. Now, the Holy Spirit dealing with you, nobody would have come to Christ. The Bible says he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's a spark there somewhere for every man to know God. But many, they reject him if they never trust him as their Savior. I hope you know Jesus Christ in a personal way this morning. The fourth thing I want to show you, and we're getting down to, are you hanging with me for a little bit? I know I ramble sometimes, but just stick in there for a little bit here. You look down to verse 3 through verse 5. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad. Now this word vessels is not a vial. It means a pot, something bigger, or container. And I don't know if you think, I think maybe of a pot, something like this, maybe like this. Maybe it's this tall. I don't know how tall they are. I don't know how big they are. He says, you go and you get these vessels and borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. That means you just don't go to the one next to you. You go down, you go farther out. You get everybody that you can walk to. That's the idea. You get a vessel from them and bring it back to the house. She sent her boys out to get the vessel. Because it goes on to make the statement, abroad of every neighbor, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Don't just go out and borrow one or two. You go out and you borrow many vessels. You get as many as you can get. I have a feeling there weren't any empty vessels around them anymore. Amen. When they were done. I think their house was full of these vessels. The Bible says this in verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass. You know, watch. It came to pass. When the vessels were full, and she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her son, and he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Now, here's the picture. I'm going to move this to this side. Here's the picture. She's got this vial and she's pouring it out. When that vessel gets full, the oil doesn't stop. She puts it over to another vessel, fills that vessel. Her son moved one out of the way, bringing another empty one. She keeps on pouring. That oil never stopped. It's filling every vessel in that house. And it says that all the vessels were full and the oil stayed. Now here's the tile. No, I'll give it to you in a minute. You think about this, and it says that oil stayed. What's that mean? Anybody? It stopped. I think, I personally believe this, and you don't have to agree with me, and that's all right, but I think when it stayed, that vial was still full. So here's the title. You ready? Are you willing this week? Are you willing this week to empty yourself to the Lord that you might remain full? Are you willing? See, that's what it comes down to for each one of us. To be willing to do our part. But you have to be willing to pour yourself out. You have to be willing to empty yourself. And man, when she was emptying that, it was still full. And you say, oh, Mike, I'm full. Oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got filled with the Holy Spirit when you got saved, but are you full of the Holy Spirit? There is a difference. Does he rule in your life? Does he speak to you when you talk to the Holy, when you talk to God? Does the Holy Spirit deal with your heart? Does he show you in your life when you're wrong? Does he show you in your life what you need as a child of God to serve him and to follow him and to obey him and to walk with him and to be led by him? Are you willing this week to empty yourself so that God can use you to his honor and to his glory that he might be magnified? I tell you what, my friend, there have been times in my life, 51 years of salvation, 46 years in full-time ministry, there have been times in my, and 37 years in evangelism now. There have been times in my life when I had to be honest with you, when I was not emptying myself out for the Lord, even in my ministry. I'm just being honest. I had to come to that point where I recognized the fact that I had to empty myself, that God might use me in his glory, to his honor, and move me out of the way. Now watch. Verse 7. The Bible says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now there's two interesting thoughts there. He says, you go and you sell what you need to pay your debt. So she did. She paid her debt. The other interesting thought is this. Then he says, and live thou and thy children. Now, that gives an indication there's just more than her two sons. Because he doesn't say thy two sons here. He says, and thy children. And I get the thought in my mind, she said, you live of the rest. I get the thought in my mind, here's one thing. I have a feeling that that oil lasted her until her children were out of the home. God took care of her needs. Can I make this statement to you? You do right by God, God will take care of your needs. God has never let me down. I send my tithe check back to my church every month. Every month, my church gets a tithe check from me. Every month my church gets, my home church gets a missions check from me to help with the missions program in our church. Every month. We ought to be tithers. We ought to be givers as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. Serving God. God will never let you down. If this woman would not have done what God said, she'd be in debt until she died. Her son would not have come back, but she obeyed the Lord. We need to obey God as the children of God, that God might bless us and that he might be honored and glorified because of that. Amen? We need to serve God. We need to do it his way. The end result for you and me is, after this life, is glory. I can't wait to get to heaven. Amen. I'm not trying to rush it. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. I'm not going to step off of a truck and say, I want to go home and be the Lord. No. I'd like to stick around just a little bit longer. I'd like to see my great grandbaby born, you know, first. But I like what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Truly love the Lord. Then let's empty ourselves for his service to bring honor and glory to him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Two questions as I'm finishing up with you here. First question is this. Has there been a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you asked him to forgive you and to save you by his grace? And you know for sure, 100% sure, that if your life ended, that you'd be in heaven? If you could say, Mike, I know that. I know I'm saved. I know I'd go to heaven if I die. I know that. No doubt in my mind. Would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me today? I know I'm saved. Amen. You can put them down. If you could not raise your hand, and I won't embarrass you. I promise I will not embarrass you. No one's looking but me. And if you could not raise your hand, and say, Mike, I know I'm saved. Would you just look up here at me for a minute? Just look up where I'm at. I don't see anybody looking. Okay. I hope you're saved. I hope you're saved. If you're not, I want to challenge you. Talk to somebody about Jesus Christ and they can show you how you can be born again. Second question. You know, you know me, I never ask more than two questions. Second question is this, Mike, would you pray for me? Because to the best of my ability, I want to empty myself for the service of the Lord. Would you pray for me today? How about just slip your hand up in the air? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Number of hands all over the place. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put them down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pray with the Lord in prayer. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I want to start this revival meeting like this. I want to start like this morning. Before I pray, let's stand to our feet. Before I pray, if you raise your hand, you said, Mike, pray for me because of the best of my ability, I want to empty myself out for the Lord this week. Why don't you slip out and you come up forward right now, and I want to pray for you. Come up here to the altar. Come up to the altar. God bless you, brother. Come on. Never be afraid to step forward in the house of God. Amen. Just come. Come on. You raise your hand. You slip out and come. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Some on this side over here, just come on. You come. Just come on. Come on. Just slip out and come. Just slip out and come. You say, Mike, I didn't raise my hand, but I need to be up there. You come. Come on. You just come. I want to pray for you while you're standing here. I just want to pray for you. Father, Lord, these are your children. And Father, many times as their children, we make decisions that are based on our feelings and based on our thoughts. But Father, right now this morning, I'm praying that you would take these who step forward and use them today, God, for your honor and for your glory. Help them, Lord. Help them to empty themselves. Help them to better serve you, that you'd be lifted up upon high, that your name would be magnified. Father, move us out of the way, that Christ might be glorified. Father, thank you for our salvation. Help these now, Father. Wrap your loving arms around them, Father. Lord, just hold on to them and remind them if they start to think something different or move in a different direction where you don't want them. Remind them, Father. Bring that thought back to their mind that they said they would empty themselves unto you this week. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks, Father, in Jesus' precious, loving, and holy name. Amen. You may go back to your seats. I'll turn over to you.